Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart, an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Church. Our ministry website is www.newvisionforlife.com, where we align our heart with the heart of God. Please join our hosts, Apostle Etta Banks and Minister Tamika Garnes, as we get to the heart of the matter.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Excuse me, I'm so sorry. Well, good morning, beloved. How are you today? I tell you, it's a wonderful day. It's a great day to say, to give thanks unto the Lord. And we say good morning to each and every one of you. This is Apostle Etta Banks, your host on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. And I have with me, of course, my beautiful, wonderful, confidant, loyal, just my ride or die. How about that? My ride or die. Minister Tamika Garnes. Good morning, beloved. How are you?
Good morning, beautiful. I am well. I'm well. I'm alive. I'm thankful that God allowed me to see another day. And I'm thankful for you as well because I hear your voice, which means that God allowed you to see another day. So to God be the glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. I tell you, I am very thankful. For those of you who don't know, I just celebrated my 70th birthday. And, you know, like, that sounds so strange to hear me saying 70, you know, because I don't feel like I'm 70. I don't think I look like I'm 70. And, you know, what I have conjured up in my mind in the past of what a 70-year-old woman looks like, that's not what I think I look like or feel like. And not that that's a negative thing. But it just sounds strange hearing me say, I'm 70. that's so weird. It's so weird. And I think as we get older and we say these numbers and you just remember when you were younger, you know, in your head, that was old. You know, that was old. That was ancient, you know, like, and now here I am in that bracket, and I'm like, oh my God, you know, like,
right.
It is so weird. It is so weird. Oh my goodness, my goodness. Well, anyway, this is the day that the Lord has made, so let us rejoice and be glad in it. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. I want to say good morning to my Joyces. My Joyces, Joyce in New York, and of course, Joyce and Lester Richardson here in Maryland. God bless you, women of God. God bless you, man of God. God bless Tamika Sheldon. Praise God. Love you much, my love. Love you much. God bless Deacon Banks, Prophetess Kim, Isaiah in Chicago, Denise in Pennsylvania. God bless you. God bless you. God bless all of the members from New Vision for Life. Thank you for being with us. God bless Nikki, too. I just thank God for this woman of God. She has been such a blessing in my life since we've met. We live in the same building, and she attends my Bible study class there. And she is just a blessing daily. She is a blessing to me. So God bless you, woman of God. I also want to thank the Bible study group that honored me on yesterday for my birthday because we meet every Friday. And so I just want to give a great big shout out to them. You know, so thank you for your love and your patience with me as I teach and do as God has given us instructions to do. With all of that being said, I'm going to ask Minister Tamika to please lead us in prayer this morning. Let's come together and do what God wants us to do today.
Amen. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well,
yes,
I just want to say
you.
Good morning to everyone. Yes, ma'am. Good morning to everyone. Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for joining us again on another lovely Saturday. As I always say, you could be doing anything else you wanted to do, and yet you choose to be with us. And we do appreciate each and every one of you. We thank God for you, and, you know, we just look forward to joining you all every Saturday. We look forward to joining you all, and it's just the support that you all give. You know, it's awesome when, because, you know, we can see the switchboard. So it's awesome to see people supporting, and it blesses our hearts. So, again, we don't take that for granted, and we don't take it lightly. So, again, we just want to say thank you. We want to say thank you to God for just choosing us in this platform. So hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Jesus.
Yes.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory
thank
to
you,
your
Lord.
Marvelous
hallelujah.
Name, O God. Thank you, Lord God, for another day in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God, for your grace and your mercy. Thank you, Father God, for your love and your joy, O God. Thank you that there is none like you, Father God. Thank you for loving us the way you love us, that unconditional love that sometimes we just can't explain, that love that makes us just want to run home to you and just jump in your arms. In the name of Jesus, oh God, we just praise your holy, mighty, matchless name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, oh God. Hallelujah. And God, we just know that sometimes, oh God, we got to go through some things, but that doesn't mean you love us any less. And God, we just say, when we go through those things, oh God, and we know that you are right there by our side, the peace and the comfort and the joy that it brings, hallelujah, oh God, that joy that only a parent like you could give, only you, Father God, the way you hold us, the way that you minister to us, the way that you wipe our tears, the way that you hug us. Hallelujah, oh God, just you filling us up, God, when we feel so empty and alone and drained, oh God, when you hug us, oh God, there is life, there is life, there is life, there is life that comes back into our bodies, oh God. And Lord, we just want to say thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us. Thank you, Lord, for providing. Thank you, Lord, for making the way. Thank you, Lord, for closing doors. Thank you, Lord, for opening doors. Thank you, Lord, for removing people from our lives that we just could not let go, Lord God. Just thank you, Lord. Thank you for the peace that your name brings. Thank you, oh God, for the joy that comes with you. And God, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for our hearts being healed. Thank you for our spirit being healed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, oh God, for the people that we've prayed for, and we see those prayers come to pass, oh God, and we rejoice with them in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Hallelujah, oh God. Thank you, Lord God, for our young people, Lord God. Thank you, Father God, for just the people that are out here and they're ministering to people and they're showing the love of God to people, God. We just want to say thank you, Lord. We know that there's a lot of negativity going on in the world right now, Father God. But however, God, we know that you are greater. We know that you are greater, and we know that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. And so, Father God, we just give you praise. We can't be worried. We can't get weary. We got to keep going because there is a lot that we have to do. We have to share the gospel. We have to let people know that you are real and that you still live. You reign in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So we thank you for heart to heart because this is one way that we share the gospel. Hallelujah. And we may never meet the people that come back and listen to the shows, but God, as long as we're planting seeds, someone else will water them. And so, Father God, we just say thank you. Glory to your mighty name. Thank you for Apostle Banks and her love. Thank you, Father God, for her leadership. Thank you for her teaching, Father, in the name of Jesus, oh God. Thank you for her wisdom in the name of Jesus. And thank you, Lord God, for all that you are doing in her. Great and mighty things are coming up out of Apostle Banks, things that she will be amazed at, things that she would say, Lord, I would have never thought you would have used me, but to God be the glory, oh God, because we thank you for her genuine heart, Lord God. We thank you, Father God, that she is a woman after your own heart, Father. So we just continue to lift her up, and we thank you for the 70 years that you have given her, because she does not look like what she's been through, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And God, we just say thank you, Lord God, that her body is healed. In the name of Jesus, oh God, all those things that make her uncomfortable, all those things that cause her pain, God, those things are healed in the name of Jesus. We declare and we decree in the mighty name of Jesus, hallelujah, that Apostle will sing again, that Apostle will run again in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. So God, we bless you, we honor you, we love you, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, 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 amen. Praise be unto God. I receive every bit of that. I receive every bit of that in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen, amen, amen. And I see a caller's number on here that I don't normally see, but I know that this caller is normally listening just about every Saturday, but not from their own phone. So I want to say good morning to Elder Mark Garnes. Yes, that is Tamika's wonderful husband and my son in the Lord, praise be unto God. And when I saw the number show up, I said, my God, I know that number from somewhere. And I had to look it up, and I said, oh, my God, that's my son. That's my son, Elder Garnes. Well, God bless you, son. It's good to see that you dialed in on your own phone this morning. Praise God. Amen.
I was walking the dogs.
Uh-huh. See, that's what I'm talking about. I excuse me. I love that kind of dedication and loyalty, because he could have gone and walked the dog and not call in to hear what's going on and wait till he got back next to you. But no, he called in on his own line. So I really appreciate that. I thank God for that. Amen, amen, amen. Well, listen, folks, listen. You know, for the last month, we have been dealing with the 21 intimate questions that Christian women ask, and we're finished with that as it stands. And I wanted to say that, you know, nobody has said anything. This is just what's in my heart to say. I wanted to say that I know some of those conversations might have been hard for some people to hear, may have been uncomfortable for some people to hear. And there's so much more to that whole program, to the book, so much more that I definitely want to get into, but we're not going to go into it, you know, here on the show today. And I know I'm going to have to pull a group, some couples together, and we're going to have some discussion about these things. And what I'm trying to get at is some of those things were difficult for people to hear, difficult especially to hear from, quote unquote, a pastor, to hear from a female, and yet these were questions that females are asking, and these are things that need to be talked about. And saints, let me say this. If we as a church, and that's the body of Christ, if we as a church are not teaching the things that we need to know in life, and especially as we're lining it up with the Word of God, if we are not teaching these things, the world will teach us. The world will teach us. The world is the one, you know, that that taught us. Well, everything that we're supposed to do in life, we have the Bible as our example, with Jesus being our forerunner, him being the example set before us on what we should do, our standard of living, and so forth. We have that, you know, in life. Then we have what the world says it should be, going by other people's experiences, et cetera, and then them deciding. And you got choices here. You know, do you want to live the way God says for us to live, or do you want to live the way man says for us to live? And, of course, we all, at first, we are living the way man says for us to live, because that's what we have from day one. You know, we're born with a sin nature. We have mommy and daddy, you know, and from there to preschool, kindergarten, whatever the case may be. And the world is always feeding us, our TV, our radio. And so we have constant worldly ways and attitudes and so forth, you know, just blaring at us constantly. And then we have, you know, the parents that will teach the Bible at home, the families that will go to church, these people who will listen to televangelists and radio shows, you know, Christian radio shows. We do have Christian education. So, you know, so again, like I said, we've got the two places to choose from on what we listen to. And when it comes to sex, that's something we very seldom talk about in the church. Very, very seldom. Like it is taboo. We don't talk about it in the church. We don't teach our young people what God's attitude is when it comes to sex. Parents don't talk to their children enough when it comes to sex. And so the world has fed us all there is to be fed, and this is why we have the issues that we have now when it comes to so much inclusion about things, about the different sexual communities, the same-sex marriages, transgender, this and that and the other, and the list goes on and on and on. And that's because we've allowed the world to feed us, and we've accepted it. We've accepted it. And, you know, today, and I was saying that that was why we, Tabika and I, you know, touched on some of those things. And to all of you ministers on this line, we have several ministers that join this line. To all of you, you know, no matter how uncomfortable you felt, I can assure you somewhere along the line, you've had a conversation about some of the stuff we talked about. Some of you as ministers, you're going to have to minister to people, to couples, on is about sex before marriage, about what's allowed in the bedchamber, the different ways of what we can do. Is God okay with this? You know, a man may want his wife to dress a certain way, and she may not feel like it's godly to do so, and so forth. So there's a lot of stuff that needs to be talked about in the church. We touched on it. We touched on some of those things. And like I said, I am going to pull together a group of couples where we can sit and talk about this stuff. And again, I'm always about lining things up with the Word of God. You know, that is the standard by which we are supposed to be living. So we line things up with the Word of God. God, is this okay? So I got that off my chest. You know, I got that off my chest about why we tackled this area. And it's something, like I said, that we're going to spend more time in offline. And when I feel it's necessary to put things back online, I will do that. I got no complaints. I got no complaints, y'all. But I just felt that I needed to explain why we did what we did. And we got some good feedback from it. We got some good feedback from it. But I just still wanted y'all to hear my heart, you know, to hear my heart. So this morning, we wanted to talk about some of the ways that the traditional church was, and versus what we have in the new church, and what is going on. I heard Tabika even mention discipleship or disciple making going on. What is it that was in the old church that we are not doing in the new church of today? Just think about that. What things we used to do? And I need you to give me some feedback. And I know there's some people on here that are old enough to know what the old church looked like, what they did and so forth. So tell me, please, what things you remember from the traditional church, the old church, that you may not see and hear of today. You may not see or hear of today. Please press 1 on your keypad and give me some feedback with this. What was it that was going on in the old church that you don't see today? In fact, you might say that's the reason why we're where we are today, because we don't do some of those things. Would anybody want to take a stab at that? Anybody? And if I don't see a hand come up real quick, Tabika, I'm going to ask you to answer that question. You're not old enough to know anything about the old church, but I know you know some of the things. Yes. Okay, so we don't have any takers right now. Come talk to me, daughter.
Okay, so when I was younger, I used to go to Bethel AME Church. And I'm trying to, some of the things that I remember then was you had to stand, for a prayer, and praise, like when you sing the songs, you had to be still when prayer was going on, until it was over, then they would escort you to your seat. And then like the music, we sang like the hymns, and the music would glorify God. And I'm just saying that because some of the music that I hear now that is called gospel, it's more, it has become more of entertainment versus glorifying God. It sounds to me, and it kind of looks to me like it has the reverence that was there in the old church or the traditional church when it came to worshiping, and when it came to the song, is in the contemporary church now. It's not that way for some of the artists. It's not all of them. But for some of them, I've noticed that it has become entertainment versus the reverence for God.
Very good. Very good. Very good. All of that is very true. In the old church, there was even a greater reverence, for God. And as we reverence God, you also reverence the leadership of the church, your pastors. There was a high regard for the leaders of the church. We, back in the old church, we had the, okay, I got to be careful when I say this, we had the morning bench, B-E-N-C-H, the morning bench we had. And where you would go to the altar and kneel down, and you would cry out before the Lord because, you know, you were in sin and you mourned and you repented and you got saved and so forth. We had the tarrying services where you tarried the ushers and altar workers, prayer workers, intercessors would tarry with you. Tarry means to wait. They would wait with you as you were waiting on the Holy Spirit so that you could receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues and so forth. So these were some of the traditions that we had in the old church. And we have come away from that in trying to win the millennials, the new generation, the younger people. We've done a lot of things to make church look more appealing. Now you hear me when I say look. That's really what it was, the look. What does the atmosphere look like? You know, will the young folks be attracted to this atmosphere and so forth? So there were a lot of things that have changed. And in that, trying to win the new generation, and especially dealing with the appearance of the place, we have lost keeping God as the center of our universe, as the center of our evangelism, you could say, almost, or our way of outreaching. We've lost God. We're not making him the reason why they ought to come to church. You ought to come to church because we got the greatest praise and worship team. You ought to come to church because we got the most fantastic dance ministry. You ought to come to church because we've got an awesome couples ministry. You ought to come to church for all of these reasons. And listen, those are not bad reasons to come to church, but those reasons won't keep them in church, because the minute one of those things are not available to them, they leave. And the world thinks, I don't care how much we decorate, I don't care how much we change the music, how much we change the lighting, how much whatever it is we're doing in the church, if we are not meeting the needs of the people mentally, emotionally, spiritually, if we're not doing that, if we're not giving them the only thing that is lasting, which is Jesus, if we're not giving them that, we will not be able to hold on to the church. And so you may say, well, my God, Apostle, there are churches with thousands of people in it. Yes, thousands of people in it. And the thousands of people that are there, are they getting the word, the unadulterated word, the truth? And are they do they have Jesus? Is that what they're hanging on to? And yes, Jesus is a must. Whether we're a church of 50 or a church of 50,000, Jesus is a must in the body of Christ. And we touched on the whole thing with the inclusion. You know, is God pleased with the stuff that he sees going on in our churches? Is he pleased with that? Is he pleased with the stuff that is going on with our schools and our children? Is he pleased with this? We have a hand here. Good morning, son. How are you? God bless you.
God bless you, Apostle. Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to speak really quick. I just thought about what you were saying, and, you know, I think that part of the reason we are in the place that we're in is because we used to have, in the home, there used to be a leadership of prayer, of studying. There was someone, it was the big mama. It was the person who was sold into, you know, believing and following and trusting God for everything. And now we're in this microwave society where we only call on God when we need him. So now it's like, I only need God on Sunday. So there's no longer, we're not walking into the church with a relationship. We're walking into church needing an introduction. So the fact that we don't have a relationship with God throughout the week has called that now people need an introduction. I think that's why the church has gone the way it is, because people feel like they have to introduce someone to Christ every Sunday rather than continuing, rather than fostering a relationship that has already been built. And that's not just so you know that for new people, because to be honest, most of the time, the person that's new coming to the church could care less about the ambiance. They're coming because they want something different. So the lights turn this way, and the strobes and the smoke and whatever the entertainment value is a lot of time to keep the people interested that are coming, that are going and have lost a relationship throughout the week. Now they need a reintroduction or for lack of a term, they need a boost. They need to re-energize with God. And we used to be in a place where we had a continual relationship where we, you know, families prayed at the dinner table. Families read the Bible together. We, you know, people really, truly attended Bible study on a regular. You had revival services throughout the week. I remember when I was younger, it was sometimes we had revival services that started on Sunday night from a Sunday night service. Then it was Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and then we were back in church on Sunday. And it felt like there was nothing wrong because you wanted to be in the presence of God, not wrapped up in the world. So that freed you from the world and allowed you to just join with like-minded people. But now it's so hard to find somebody like-minded because everyone's falling to the ways of the world. But we really start to just build a relationship with God. We won't need the introduction to God every Sunday. We won't need the spectacle. It's almost like we believe God is in the room because the lights are flashing. You know, we believe the Spirit is moving because because everyone's shouting and everyone's screaming. But sometimes the shouting and the screaming becomes an emotional reaction to the entertainment value, not to the move of the Spirit. That's all I wanted to say.
Amen, amen, amen. Very good, very good, very good. Amen. Thank you so much for sharing that, son. Thank you so much for sharing that. You know, when you and your wife both mentioned the entertainment portion of the church, I don't know who was speaking when I heard someone at the talking about this same thing, who said that the gospel music was never meant to be a part of the entertainment arena, a genre, you know, the entertainment arena. It was to worship and to praise God. We worship the Lord. We honored him in our music. When you go back to the old hymns or even the songs that the slaves sung and so forth and so, none of that was entertaining. You know, that was not entertainment. That was those folks pouring out their hearts before the Lord. And listen, let me say this. I'm not saying that the contemporary music today, that there are not people pouring out their hearts before the Lord. I am not saying that because I'm a contemporary music person. I'm inspirational when it comes to music. Absolutely taking nothing away from the music industry. But it wasn't supposed to be for entertainment purposes. It wasn't to be entertainment. And now you'll have, you know, the gospel shows. I remember watching some church, this was live. I was watching some choir. It was a choir showdown, different choirs competing to win money and so forth and so on. And I was watching, and I'm telling you, there was so much theatrical stuff going on with the the choirs, the dancing, or how the director directed, and they, I mean, they put on a show. It was a show. And I was the choir director at that time for our church, and I told our choir, look, y'all, I'm sorry. I didn't know I was supposed to do all of that. I didn't know I was supposed to do all of that, you know. But it was an actual show. And like, the people ended up winning because of the show that they put on, not because it invoked the Holy Spirit, not because it pleased or blessed God. It was a good show, you know. So we have lost so much. We have lost so much today, and it saddens me. It saddens me. I know, in something else I was watching on TV, no, not TV, it was probably on YouTube, where a transgender male was putting on a show. He was dressed like a stripper, a female stripper. He was putting on a show for these minor children. Saints of God, hear me, please. Hear me. The children were between the ages of 1 and the oldest child there was 10. So now you know if they were 1 and 2 and 3 years old, 4 years old, 5 years old even, 6 years old even, these children were brought to this show by their parents. Now I'm looking at this. Parents, some of them had to carry their children in because they were so young. Others are in strollers, and they took them to this, what was it? What do you call it? Drag queen. That's what this drag queen dressed as a stripper, putting on a show for these children, and then a discussion about inclusion, accepting everybody, you know, as they are, whatever the case may be, and going into the sexuality, even though you were born a boy, if you want to be a girl, you can be a girl, and so forth. This is what is being done to our children at 1 and 2 years old, and their parents are doing this. The parents are doing this. Again, have been convinced that this is the way things should be. This is the way it should go. And I was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. And then there was a pastor who came to the show because he heard it was going on. And he said, he asked the question, what are you going to do when you have to stand before God and answer for your sin? Well, dear heart, you would have thought somebody came into the room with a machete and chopping off people's heads. Those people got so riled at him, so angry at him, that he would even bring Jesus into this. Do you know one of the mothers said, how dare you talk about Jesus in front of our children? There are children here. Children here. Yes, there are children here. You brought those children here, and you brought those children here to see a drag queen. So you wouldn't bring your children to church or to a Christian meeting to hear about God, but you would take them to see a drag queen, transgender, and so forth. What has the world come to? What has the world come to? Anybody, if you want to say anything, please press 1 on your keypad. Press 1 on your keypad and share in the conversation. What is happening? What is happening to us? Saints of God, hello. Where are the, yes?
I'm sorry, I just had 2 things I want to share, but finish what you were saying.
Okay, just where are the real men and women of God? Where are the righteous men and women of God? Go ahead, my love.
Yeah, so the first thing I wanted to share is about my grandmother, my father's mom. When she was alive, she was basically at church every Sunday. And being at church every Sunday from like 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. And I remember my sister and I would have to go go pick her up from church. And our conversations to pick her up was always like, I don't understand why grandma be in church so long. Like, I don't understand. Like, what is the purpose of being in church for 12 hours? Like, what are you really doing all that time? So when I kind of understood it, once I say yes to God and gave my life to Christ, because for some people, they don't want to leave. Like, their spirit is so connected to Christ that in those moments while they're there, they don't want to leave. And it's like, he was never the one, like, wanted to be rushed. We knew that when grandma got up and she got to church, we knew where she was for those 12 hours. Wasn't no question.
Right.
You know, she was there for those 12 hours. Like, that was longer than being at work for some people. And trying to understand, why would my grandmother want to sit in the church service for 12 hours? And then as I got older, like I said, I gave my life to Christ. I understood why. I got it. I was like, oh, okay. I get why she stayed in church that long. It was a lot she was getting. She was in the presence of God. Like, and that is something that brought her joy. And it wasn't for me to try to, like, understand or saying, oh, that don't make sense. It wasn't for me to say. But again, I was a teenager, young adult. But, you know, that's the type of things that we say when we don't understand something. So, you know, now I appreciate my grandmother's dedication to Christ and wanting to spend that quality time with him. The other thing I wanted to, the other thing I wanted to share was there is a reality show that Kirk Franklin and his wife host. I think it's called One or something. But in this show, I think I've only watched two so far, and I haven't gone back because it looks like a secular show to me. And I'm scratching my head like, okay, this is where people are dating different people to find the one. And but in this, I have not seen them offer anybody Christ. I haven't seen them minister to anybody. It looks just like the secular shows where the secular dating shows. And that is one of the things where I'm saying how things have become entertainment for some people. Some people have lost sight of what the vision is, what the body of Christ is. And they've allowed the world to basically mix and mingle in with their faith. And now some of the things that they, the word of God, they're now welcoming or they now don't have an issue with. So it's sad to see that some people are falling into the game that the enemy is playing on the fence of it's nothing wrong with that, or y'all are too churchy, and, you know, all that other stuff that people say, when we know that it goes against the word of God. And we're supposed to be the examples. We're supposed to be the one that are like the face for Jesus Christ. You understand what I mean? We are the ones that are supposed to represent or represent him to the people. And I feel like some of us are failing terribly. That's all I wanted to say.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that, beloved. Yes, good morning, Deacon Farr. How are you, beloved?
Hey, grace and peace. Good morning. How are you?
Fine, thank you, brother. Fine, thank you. God bless you.
God bless you. I just make sure we got sound check. You know, I've just been listening for 20 minutes, and here we go. you know what? But I think what it is, too, I understand what the sister was saying, but we got to understand that it's about the body of Christ, because it's not about the sin of man. It's not about the enemy. It's not about the culture. The culture is contrary to the word of God. That's what unbelievers do. It's the compromise and the watered down, I say it like this, the watered down gospel and the watered down teaching mm-hmm. that the people are getting mm-hmm. that's causing this. And also when we talk about being tolerant, you know, I don't know if any other saints have experienced this, but when you talk about God and the standards of God, you're called intolerant. You're called the homophobe and all these other things because you don't go along mm-hmm. with what now is becoming the norm. You're normalizing sin, and this is is the time that we're going to be challenged. We talk about the persecution mm-hmm. in the church. We talk about all these things, but like you said, I mean, I caught the tail end of what you were saying. We're going to stand before God and be judged about our lives, not the lives of others.
Yes.
So what we faithful to God, church, those who are listening, believers, you, baby believers, senior believers, are you faithful to the things of God in the midst of this culture? Are you a remnant? Are we a salt and light? That's all we can really do. Because the sin of man is going to do what the sin of man do. You know, the flood came, only 8 souls were qualified. God came to Sodom and Gomorrah when he told Abraham, if you find me 10 men, I won't destroy the place. So us as the church, first of all, we have to get to a place where we hold each other accountable to the word. We're discipling new believers. And I'll say this, and I'll stop, but we got to understand, too, these things with all the drag queen homosexuality, this stuff didn't start in 2023. I'm old enough to remember gay rights back in the 70s. And this is what they accomplished over the last 40 years because they were faithful to the thing. And in some places, the church wasn't faithful to who they were. I'll stop right there. What do you say, Apostle?
I say you're absolutely right. That is why I posed the question, men and women of God, righteous men and women of God, where are you? Where are you? We didn't stand up for what God said. We didn't stand up for the godly teaching and the principles, the standards that we were supposed to live by. The world convinced us that we could not and should not say anything or do anything that would offend them. So we ended up in this whole thing with the inclusion, accepting everything. Everything that the world brought to us, we ended up accepting us. It goes back to Wade versus who is it, Roe, whatever, you know, dealing with the abortion stuff, dealing with the homosexuality coming up. And the thing is, thanks to God, homosexuality was back in the Bible, okay? It's nothing new. It is nothing new at all. It was, and we got to the place where, listen. Here's where they get us. Here's where they get us. God is love, and we are supposed to love everybody. And how could you come against me if you say you're a Christian? Aren't you supposed to love me? Yes, beloved, I am supposed to love you. And guess what? I do love you. I love you. God loves you. Any true man and woman of God is supposed to love you in Christ Jesus. However, just the way Jesus loved us enough not to leave us in the same manner in which we found ourselves when we accepted him, he left us the Holy Spirit to help us to change, to be empowered to change and become like him. Become like him. Jesus was not a transgender. He was not homosexual. He was not a murderer. He was not a liar. He was not a thief. We have been empowered with the ability to walk like Jesus. In other words, saints of God, it's called to be holy. We have been empowered to do that. And we have come totally against it by the world standard. Somebody said, I'm not as bad as so-and-so. That's the world standard. Are you as bad as or as good as the Word of God says? Are we doing what the Word says? As Deacon Farr said, can we stand up for righteousness in the wave of the culture of today? It started, you know, with the gay rights in the 70s, like he said. You know, where were we when that happened? Where were we when what's her name, Madeline, what's her name, said no more prayer in school? Where were we? We have been bowing to the world. We have compromised so much that you can walk into a church today and think you're in a nightclub. By the way the folks dress, by the way I went to an event, and the shouting, the dancing shouting, not the screaming, the dancing shouting, I'm telling you, it was a dance show. And those of us who've been in churches where people shout under the unction of the Holy Spirit, you can tell the difference between the anointing and between somebody putting on a show. Oh, the keyboard player hit a certain note, and there we go. You know, and saints of God, we have come so far from where the Father desires for us to be, where we have been commanded to be, where we have been given the ability to be by the empowering of the Holy Spirit. Saints of God, and we are going to have to answer for it. We can't blame anybody else. We will have to answer individually. Each one of us will stand before God in judgment. Each one of us. And we're going to have to answer for it. And I just pray that as we are saying these things today, that it invokes in you the place where you come to, where you say, Father, I apologize. I am so sorry because, I went along with the program. I didn't want to offend my children. I didn't want to offend my neighbor. I wanted to be liked. I wanted to be seen as a good person. Father, help me. Help me, help me, help me. Saints of God, we have got to come to a place where we understand what God wants. And not just give in to the world. Good morning, beloved. We have another caller. Good morning. I believe it's Tamika.
Yes.
It's Tamika. Okay. Thank you, sweetheart. Good morning, darling. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. I'm in a quandary because my profession makes it so that I have to adapt to the way that the world is. So, for example, I am very accepting of transgender and LGBTQ community, and putting the preferred pronouns at the end of emails and making sure that we are inclusive, and that's part of my profession. Because of the type of job that I'm in, it makes it so that there's a, like, I don't know what to do, actually. So if my personal beliefs different than what I'm supposed to do in my profession, what am I what am I supposed to do?
Supposed to do.
Yeah.
Darling, let me tell you this. That is a tough one. That is a tough one. Jesus, help me, Lord God. Okay. That is a tough one, but it comes down to eventually when the Bible tells, okay, we are supposed to obey the laws of the land and obey the Bible until the laws of the land comes against what the Bible says. And when it comes against what the Bible says, that's where we are supposed to draw the line. And yes, the world has made it so that if you stand up for what is righteous, if you stand up for your personal, true, honest to God, biblical beliefs, if you stand up for that, it would cost you your job. It would cost you your job. And how that is part of the price we pay for walking in holiness. That is the price that we end up paying. That is a place where then you'd have to do your, how do you do your job and not compromise with sin? How do you do your job and not compromise with sin? And there has got to be a way. There has got to be a way. I don't know what the way is. I mean, it's the same thing. Listen, that same dilemma that you're in is the same dilemma that someone else from the church and a whole lot of people, not just from our church, when it came to the pandemic, the people who would not get the shot, and it came to a place you either get the shot or you lose your job. And I've had people from my church that had to lose their job because they refused to take the shot. It came against what they stood for, and they lost their
Apostle,
job.
Can you hear me?
Oh, I can hear you now. Didn't hear you before.
Amen.
Go ahead, speaking far again.
You know, for what the sister's saying, sometimes, again, this is for us in this culture as Christians, first of all, we have to get to the place that we're going to be persecuted for our faith. I mean, it doesn't really matter. It's just taken this form. Were not the first century Christians persecuted? Was not the Christians in Rome persecuted for their beliefs? So it's just taken this form. It's not physical. It's not torture. It's not beating. But it's ideology. It's morality. And now we have to choose, are we going to stand, or do we believe God, or do we not believe God, and are we going to be able to, because God's not going to deliver us from everything. We're going to have to endure the persecution. We're going to have to learn to endure it and then work through the thing. So you have to be wise. We have to be wise in these issues, because these issues are not going away. This is just the beginning. The he, she, it, now, binary, all that, that's ideology. Those are words. But we have to learn to endure this persecution, not think that because we're being persecuted for Christ. So now, how are we going to endure the persecution? We have to look back at history. We have to look back at how the world is changing. But now, are we willing to stand? Are we willing to give up these jobs, find other jobs, find other opportunities? Are we afraid? You know what I'm saying? We have to build up our fortitude to endure the persecution. Don't think the persecution is going to stop. But we're going to have to, every individual person, every individual believer in this life, you're going to have to personally choose your faith over whatever it is. So now your strategy is, what am I going to do? I mean, there's ways. I know I've talked to some other people what the sister was saying. Sometimes you get around the pronouns, call them by their name. That's the first strategy. Use their first name, okay? They call themselves this, that, whatever, call them by their name. You get around the he, she. If it's a man calling himself a girl, I mean, you've not really, because understand what that is. You're not really compromising who you are but you also, you're not, you know, I'm not going to call, put it this way. I'm not calling a transgender man. I'm not calling him a she. I don't care. I'm not calling him a she when he's biologically, you know what I'm saying? So now I'm ready to endure the persecution because you are not a woman. You are not a woman like my mother. So I'm not calling you a she, and now I'm ready to endure. See, that's what we have to get in the church. We have to be bold. We have to be proactive because this is the time to stand. I'm not calling a man biologically a woman. So now am I ready, prepared to take the consequences and let God direct and guide the steps of my life and not me? I'm just I'm not telling a sister to go out on a limb, but she has to step back and then consider with the compromise. How much are you willing to compromise? Because right now we're talking about words and ideology. So, you know, we have to, every person has to figure out where you at and when it comes to these things. And then now, are you willing to endure? Because again, you look at the history of the church, the saints, they were willing to take the punishment and the persecution for standing up for the word of God and the truth of God. So that's the first thing all of us have to look at. Are we willing to stand up for the truth and then take the consequences? Because we're not always going to get our way. We're not going to win every battle. But are we willing to take the consequences? Because remember, the martyrs, Christianity is full of martyrs. Heaven is full of folk who died for Christ. Because this world is not our home. We are pilgrims passing through, and some of us will be martyred. So we have to look at Christianity and our faith in a whole different light, because it's only going to get worse. I'll stop there, Apostle. Okay?
Amen. Amen. Tamika, I trust me, beloved. I hear you and I feel for you. But what Deacon Farr said was true. I have a godson. I have a godson that is he's a son. He was born a male. He's transgendered, and he's changed his name legally, and so forth and so on. And I don't care how many dresses, skirts, you know, feminine stuff that he puts on. When I look at him, I still see my godson. I still see my godson, and I still call him by his God-given name, and because I can't bring myself to call him the feminine name that he has given himself, because he's not a woman. He's not. I don't care what has happened. He's not a woman. Of course, this has not cost me my job. But now let me tell you where I get in a place where it could cause me a problem in my profession. I will not perform a wedding for a same-sex couple. I've got people in my church, okay, that are in that lifestyle. I will not perform a wedding for a same-sex couple. And, you know, and that could cause me a problem. But that is my right as a Christian not to do that, because that's not what the Bible tells me that a marriage is supposed to be. That is my profession. I can get sued for it and everything else. But that's where I have to stand. And like I said, I feel for you. I felt for the woman at my job that was a school teacher. I mean, at my job at my church that was a school teacher. And they told her she didn't get the shot, she was losing her job. I wrote a letter. You know, they used to accept letters from your churches saying, you know, because of your religious beliefs, you don't have to do certain things. And they refused it. They refused to accept it. She lost a job that she was in for like 15 or 20 years. She lost her job. She's still unemployed by that, but she found a way of earning income by doing something else, So, yes, you are in a quandary, sweetheart, a very serious one, because I know that is your livelihood. I know, you know, that is, but that's just the way it's going to come to all of us. When it comes down to the mark of the beast, You know, are we going to take the mark of the beast in the end time? Are we taking that at that mark of the, which has been gradually put upon us with our social security numbers, our credit cards, things being scanned, this, that, and the other? The mark of the beast has been gradually put upon us as we go along and as we're accepting things because we don't know any better and we don't realize how much we've given into what the enemy, the Antichrist, has presented to us. We don't realize how much of it that we have given into, and gradually stuff is coming about. And you want to say something else before I go on, because I can talk too much. Something else, how do you feel about what's being said right now? What are your thoughts?
Well, I feel like I'm between a rock and a hard place, because I'm
rock
also
and a hard place. Yes.
So help other people and organizations learn how to maneuver through this new world.
Mm-hmm.
Or new way of being, and it's just it's tough to try to be neutral, and support Christianity, of course, and it's just a tough place. But I hear everything that Deacon Farr said and what you're saying. Yeah, it's just tough.
It is tough, and when you just said the word neutral, see, that is a place where we eventually, and hear me, sweetie, that's a place where we can't be, we can't be neutral. We have to choose one side or the other, and that's the problem. That we have to choose one side or the other. And again, I understand where you are. God knows my heart goes out to you. But when I look at the fact that laws had to be passed, I think Texas is one that finally passed the law, and I don't know what other state it was. They finally passed the law that they will no longer do sex change operations on children, before they're of age 16 or something like that. Children 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years old, their parents were allowing sex change operations because their little children were saying, I don't feel like a boy. I'm a girl. I don't feel like a girl. I'm a boy. And to appease these children, parents were allowing these operations to be done. Then in some states, the doctors were doing these operations against the parents' wishes, because the pediatricians and all who are examining these children, and they hear these children say, I'm not a boy, I'm a girl, I'm not a girl, I'm a boy, they're saying it's that child's right to change, to be what they are. This is how deep it has gone. This is how deep it has gone. Transgender folks are going into preschool, kindergarten, daycare centers, and teaching children about anal sex and so forth. This is where this has gone. So see, it's not just about being polite and let's not offend somebody with the he, she, it, and them pronouns. Let's not offend them, so let's be inclusive of that. It's gone far deeper than that. I mean, I've got videos that I can show you of stuff that has gone on with our children. All comes out of that arena. It all comes out of that arena. The spirit of deceit and confusion has overtaken this place. And we have to come to the place where we know we are not of this world. We are not of this. This is not our home. And we have to come to a place, if we don't stand up for what's right, if we don't stand up for what's right, the world will be going straight to hell. The world would be going straight to hell. Someplace we've got to stop. We've got to stop and say, God, I need your help in order to do my part in it. I need your help. Being persecuted, the word tells us that we will be persecuted all the day long. We're like sheep for the slaughter. If Jesus is our example, didn't he take on our sins? And wasn't he beaten, abused, stripped, everything, all that stuff that he went through on the cross in order to save us? He did that to save us. And if you, when I say you, I'm not talking about you personally. I'm talking about you generally, worldwide. If you look at what he suffered through so that we could be free, so that we could be free, so that we don't end up in hell. If we look at that and take that thing personally, I mean really take it for real, we would come to a place where we say, I can't do this. I can't do this. My soul, my body, my spirit, it was all purchased by the blood of Jesus. Someone died for me. The rights that we got because our ancestors were beaten, and how many of us can really sit and look at the blacks that were beaten and tormented and burned and so forth and so on in order for us to have rights, in order for us to have the right just as a human being, a black man versus a white man, and then to toss all of that aside. Jesus did even deeper than that. Because he said freedom. And unfortunately, society, the culture of today's world, we are not free. You are not free. And when you say you're between a rock and a hard place, so you're not in a free place. You're between the rock and a hard place. My girl that had to give up her job, she wasn't in a free place. She had to make a decision, a choice. You know, and it's going to happen. God blesses those that are persecuted for his name's sake. For his name's sake. I have to stand for what's right. All of the martyrs that were killed because they stood for what was right. They stood for the right to share the gospel. To share the gospel in different lands and so forth. And they got killed. They were tortured. Because they shared the gospel. Sweetie, it is a rough place to be in. It is a rough place. My hat goes off to you. I understand where you are. And that's something that, again, you and the people in human resources that are Christians, these are things that they're going to have to put before God and say, Lord, what do I do? And how do I handle it? How do I do this? How do I do this? Ah, bless you, darling. Thank you so much for sharing and being open and transparent. I thank you so very, very much. You're my heart. You know that.
Yes, thank you.
You are my heart. Yes, darling. Yes. Oh, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. And to members of New Vision that are on the line, see, these are some of the things that when I tell you that when we start sharing truly the truth of the word says that we can only worship God in spirit and in truth. And when we start sharing the truth of the word, there are going to be some people, and I'm not saying this is for Tamika. I'm not saying that. So let me get that straight right down to anybody that may think it. We are going to be sharing stuff and saying stuff that comes against what you have become used to. It's going to come against it. You're going to get offended. You're going to say, well, my child is homosexual. You're going to say, and this is not just about the homosexual arena, no, about other things that we have going on that comes against the word of God. And you're going to say, but my child, my mother, my cousin, my godchild. And you're going to have to say, you know, baby, I love you. However, I can't agree with this. let me give this last example, and then we're going to end up going. I would not allow my cousins years ago, my cousin who was married, and he would live in New York. He would come visit me in Pennsylvania, and he would bring his mistress with him. And the first time he did, they came to my house, and I wasn't expecting him to bring a mistress. I had invited him down for the weekend. He was going to stay at my house and so forth and so on. But when he brought his mistress with him, I said, you know what? I gave him the list of some hotels and said, you go to the hotel. You're not sleeping under my roof with a woman that's not your wife. You're not sleeping under my roof. Sorry, I don't agree with it. Love you. We can still hang out. And listen, I was going to the clubs. So when I say we could still hang out, we can go party, you know, we can go, but you're not sleeping with another woman in my house, and I know your wife. Whether I knew her or not, you're married. You're not doing that. Now, just the way I, my ground, as far as him being a married woman and committing adultery, is the same way that if it was my child that was homosexual and they bring their lover to my house, I'm sorry, you're not sleeping in my house with your lover. And see, people think that, because my brother hit me with this, people think that we're being so hard on the homosexual community. I'm hard on when it comes to sin, period. Because he said to me, he asked me that example. You're saying that homosexual couldn't sleep in your house, and no, they can't. And he said, well, what if it was two single people that are dating each other, could they sleep in your house? And they're not married. No, they can't. What about the man that's committing adultery? Would you accept that? No, I don't. And I've been in it. No, I don't. So it goes straight across the board. It's not against homosexuality. I'm not homophobic at all. Not at all. Got plenty of relatives that are in the way. I'm not homophobic. I'm Christ-like. I'm Christ-like. You can come to my house and have dinner. You know, I'm not gonna. You can come to my church. You know, but I'm gonna give you Jesus. I'm gonna give you the truth of the word. So it doesn't matter whether you're gay. It doesn't matter whether you are married and committing adultery. It doesn't matter if you're single and you're shacking up together. I am going to give you the word of God, and that's what I'm going to stand by. And I pray that that the Holy Spirit strengthens all of us to go through whatever it is we have to go through for his namesake. Blessed are those who are persecuted for his namesake. And I know we don't see it as a blessing. But that is the word of God, and his word does not fail. He says we will be blessed. All right, amen. Thanks to God. Another hard topic. Whew, Jesus, help me, Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Help me, Jesus. Why me, Deacon Farr?
Great. This is why. This is what we're called to. This is what we're churches. This is what we're called to. Because otherwise, yes, people think they're going to heaven, they're heading to hell. That's simple as that.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
This is the call.
And Tamika, you're not heading to hell, okay? Because I know you were born again.
Oh, well, no, that's not what I meant. Oh, Lord, yes, please.
I know. Okay. Because I know how the enemy works, boy. I know how that demon works.
All right.
Yes. All right, saints. Look, we love you. We love you tremendously. God bless you all. Thank you. We went over time, but thank you for staying with us. Thank you for sharing. Tamika, thank you, my love. Deacon Farr, thank you. Elder Mark, thank you. And Tabika, thank you. To God be all the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name. Take care, saints, and we'll see y'all next Saturday.
Amen. Amen. God bless.
Amen.
Amen. God bless. God
Thank you for listening to Heart with Bishop Etta Banks. Heart to Heart is an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life, Kingdom Builders. Please visit our ministry website at www.newvisionforlife.com. As always, beloved, I pray that God will bless you and bless you mightily. And as he does, you will turn around and bless someone else. And then that person will turn around and bless someone. Then that person will turn around and bless God Almighty for the blessings that he bestowed upon them. And then God, in his awesome and infinite wisdom, will turn around and bless you one more time because you knew what to do with the blessings he bestowed upon you. I thank God for the completion of the circle of blessings. I beseech you, therefore, in the name of Jesus, that you go forth today and be a blessing to someone. And when you do, do so on purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.